Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. We honor the best gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation during this broadcast, especially the gifts of healing. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, I'd just like to say that as we teach the word here at Kansas City Christian Faith Center, there are two methods in which we present the word. Number one is preaching. And preaching is inspirational. And once you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you basically don't need any more preaching. What you need is teaching, information, how you can be successful in the things of God. That's why we at Kansas City Christian Faith Center, we are teachers of the Word of God. The Word of God says, get wisdom, but all you're getting, get understanding. So as a teacher, we want to teach the Word of God so you can get some understanding so that you may be successful in every area of your life. Amen? Well, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on the importance and the meaning of faith. The importance and the meaning of faith. Now, if you have your Bibles open to Hebrews 11, let's go to verse number 6 and let's read our foundational scripture that we are using for our teaching on our subject. So if you found it, I will read. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, would you please open your Bibles to Proverbs 8? That's Proverbs chapter 8. And please go to verse 17. And it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Amen. So God honors and rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, we looked at our foundational scripture found in Hebrews 11:6 and a corresponding scripture in Proverbs 8:17. And we've seen the same word diligently. Now, even though these words are spelled the same, but they have different meanings in each one of these verses. In our foundational scripture in Hebrews, diligently means to search, to investigate, to crave, to demand, to worship, to seek after carefully, to seek after carefully. And in Proverbs, the same word, diligently, it means to be up early at any task with the application of earnestness, by intensely to search for, with painstaking, inquire early, rise, seek early in the morning. So we have these words that have similar meanings but different applications in their scripture. So God is looking for someone who is diligently investigating, worship, studying his word early, and to seek intensely after. Amen. But God wants his children to be obedient in their study of his word and do it early when you are at your best in terms of being awoke and not challenged by the spirit of slumberness. Amen. Remember, we want to give God our best because he gave us his best. Now, our last time together, we were discussing how false beliefs come from hearing error, which truly can affect your faith. How false beliefs come from hearing error, which can affect your faith. We know by the word of God that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we must be careful what we hear, because what we allow into our ear gates can affect our faith, either negatively or positively. I also mention, just because we are in a church setting, it's no reason not to be aware of Satan, his demonic angels, or anyone or persons that will allow themselves to be used by Satan, because he has infiltrated the church years ago, and one of the areas he has attacked the sanctity of the church is in music, for instance. He has inspired a lot of songs to be written that are completely worthless in reference to the word of God and are really anti-word songs without people really realizing it. It is not a matter of the sincerity of the person who wrote the song, but you have to be careful what you listen to, because whatever you hear is going to affect your faith. Amen. And as bees are attracted to honey, so music is to the soulish part of man's nature. Remember, we are tripart humans. We are a spirit. We have a soul where our mind, our free will, our feelings, our emotions, our intellect, and our personality indwells, and we live in a body. We are tripart human beings, spirit, soul, and body. Now, Lucifer, the archangel, was created by God to be the musical director in the heavenly realm and was given an anointing for the assignment in music. But because of his pride and arrogance, he and his demonic angels were thrown from heaven unto earth. But he did not lose the gift that was given to him by God. What he lost was his anointing for that gift. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 11. That's Romans chapter 11. And we're going to read verse number 29. Romans 11, 29. And it says, "For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." So Satan still has the gift. He just doesn't have the anointing that was given to him while he was in the celestial realm. God does not take back the gifts and talents. Even though you might not be using them the way he wanted you to, he still allows you to keep your gift. When you listen to songs closely, you will find that many songs are designed to rhyme, to sound like poetry, because it goes better with music. But sometimes the words are never considered. Does this line up with the Word of God? Is this correct spiritually? Remember, faith comes by hearing. So consequently, we continue to listen to these songs without thinking, because they attract the soulish part of our tripart being rather than our spirit. Some songs have become deified, exalted to a status even equal to Jesus. I mentioned last week, when you begin to start tampering with the song, you are tampering with the sacred cow. But we're going to kill some cows if they need to be killed. Amen? We're not going to stand by and be foolish. I am going to show you two illustrations, and you examine it for yourselves. I will be giving you the verse in the songs, and then I will give you scripture to compare the verse with the illustration of the kinds of things that I am talking about. We are going to look at two references, one from a hymn from a church hymnal book, and secondly, from a CD from a very well-known gospel psalmist. Now, I want you to understand, the person who wrote and sings these songs are not the issue. I am not questioning their sincerity. Let me repeat that. The person who wrote and sings these songs are not the issue. I am simply questioning the way the songs are written, not the sincerity of the person. All I'm questioning is, does this song line up with God's word? Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The name of our first song is "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviors." Now, how many of you heard that song? Quite a few, haven't you? Again, I am only using this to show you the importance of faith comes by hearing, and believe it's going to alarm you. Many of you may have heard this song, and it just might be one of your favorite songs. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry." Again, I am not attacking the singer or you, but I am only dealing with a principle. We must be principle-driven Christians. But I want you to watch closely, and you will see what I am talking about. And then you will become very selective about your music, because whatever you listen to is going to affect your faith. Faith comes by hearing. The first verse is, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, pass me not. Pass me not." That's the implication, is that there is a possibility that the Lord might pass you by. If there is a possibility of the Lord passing you by, then why would you insult him by saying, "Do not pass me by"? What does "pass me not" mean? Do not pass me by, is that right? Now let's look at how unscriptural that is. Please go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse number 5. And it says this: "Let your lives be without love of money, and be content with the things you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Amen. Now, this verse was written long before the song was written. Now, how can you not see the conflict between "pass me not, O gentle Savior," and "I will never leave you nor forsake you"? When you say "pass me not," it is like saying God is a liar and that his word is unreliable. That's exactly what you're saying. I cannot trust his word, so I have to say, "Do not pass me by." God has already said, "I will never leave you." If he will never leave me, then how is he going to pass me by? If he's never going to leave me, how is he going to pass me by? What a slap in God's face. Now you're there in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to read verse number 18. And it says, "So that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie." So if God says he would never leave or forsake you, that settles it, period. God is not a man in which he should lie. He can't lie. What it does is build a kind of faith in your spirit of a God who is passing by. Please go to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. When you're there, say amen. Okay, we're going to read verse 19 and 20. And it says, "Go for there, or go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Jesus did not say, "Lo, there is a chance I might be with you in good times." No, Jesus says, "I am with you always. I am with you always. I am with you always." Then how can you say, "Do not pass me by"? So we have a problem here. Can you see the difference? The man himself, Jesus, says, "I am with you always." How much does that mean, or how much does that cover? "I am with you always." Better yet, how much is left out of always? Absolutely nothing. Amen. Now, I would like for you to think with me for a moment. Use your brain for more than just a hat rack. If that was a song that was regularly sung in your service for 10 years, and you have heard it for 10 years, you would develop a lot of faith for a Savior who is going to pass you by. And Jesus himself said, "I will always be with you. I am with you always." He did not say, "I am going to be," because that would have been future tense. Jesus says, "I am," which is present tense. Now, some of you might be thinking, "Well, Pastor, that is such a small issue. Why do you even bring it up?" Well, I'm glad you asked that, because here's the answer for that. I agree with you that it is a small issue, but the Word of God is our final arbitrary. It shall be, and it should be, our final arbitrator when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Not man. So when we have a problem or issue, we should go to the Word and see what the Word says about it. So let's just do that. But there are a lot of Christians, everybody say a lot of Christians, that side with man rather than with God's Word. Go to the book of the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. And we're going to read verse number 12, and we're going to see what it says. And it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Singing unscriptural songs lead to error, disobedience, and finally death." Now go to the book of Song of Solomon. The book of Song of Solomon. And go to chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 15. And it says, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Now, these little foxes that the scriptures are telling us about, these foxes symbolizes the problems and the issues that may grow or gnaw at a relationship, which could very well be your relationship with the Father God. And so that is why he wants us to address these little foxes, because if you allow them or ignore them, then they will become eventually larger and be a problem that could end up in death, because Satan only comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. So our God is a God of principle. And so when he tells you that, beware of the little things, we have to beware of them. Yeah, it might be a very small issue when we're talking about, do not pass me by. But that little small thing are like the foxes. And if you allow them to just to continue to gnaw at your spirit, then the next thing you know, that's what you're going to have faith for. Now, let's look at the rest of that verse in that song. It says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry." It is asking the Lord to hear me, right? Okay, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. We always go to our final arbitrator, which is the Word of God. So 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. When you're there, say amen. When you're there, say amen. Okay, and we're going to read verse number 14 and 15. And it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So if we know that he hears us or whatever we ask, we know that we have whatever we ask of him. Amen? So, what is really happening here is a total disrespect to God the Father when you sing, hear my humble cry. Because he says, whenever you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time. But please join us next week where we continue our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. Until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.